Hello and welcome to Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. Talking.Golf is a weekly podcast featuring Gary D'Amato and Rob Hernandez. And now, talking all things golf in Wisconsin, here's Gary and Rob. Talking.Golf is sponsored by Elite Sport and Spine in Brookfield. Winter doesn't have to be your downtime for golf. In fact, it should be your prime time to get your body in shape and improve your game for the upcoming season. Elite Sport and Spine in Brookfield, Wisconsin offers a comprehensive golf performance program. Their innovative approach is geared towards golfers of all ages and abilities and combines medical and fitness assessment, specific golf movements, and TrackMan analysis. Elite Sport and Spine's team of TPI certified providers then creates a plan for you to address your specific limitations, combining golf instruction, physical rehabilitation, and strength and conditioning. Call Elite Sport and Spine in Brookfield at 262-373-9168 for more information, or visit their website at elitesportandspinewi.com and click Golf Performance Training. Now, stay tuned to Talking.Golf to find out how you can score a free sleeve of Pro V1 or Pro V1X golf balls just for calling our friends at Elite Sport and Spine in Brookfield. With Gary D'Amato, I'm Rob Hernandez. It is the first weekend of February. And Gary, by the end of February, we may be talking about courses opening in Wisconsin. Groundhog Day, be damned. Who knows what may happen with the weather. We just saw the middle part of Illinois get dumped on with snow, but you're telling me that the ground in your neighborhood at the world headquarters of Wisconsin.Golf in Caledonia is relatively clear of snow.
Yeah, Rob, I was in Kenosha last night and they got 3 or 4 inches and the roads were pretty bad. But around me up here in, you know, just south of Milwaukee, the snow has basically disappeared except for, you know, big drifts. And but like you said, who knows what could happen? We could have a nice stretch of weather and be playing golf in 2 or 3 weeks, or, you know, we could have a 12 inch or any day. So one never knows at this time of the year in Wisconsin.
I think next year we're going to have you walk outside the Caledonia headquarters and on February 2nd and ignore any shadows you might see and proclaim just 4 more weeks of winter.
Yeah, baloney with the 6 more weeks. That's too much. 4 weeks, absolutely. I think I can handle at this point. We're in the countdown phase for winters, which is always good.
Well, and a lot of things on our website this week that kind of look ahead to the season. One, a little bit of a downer, but the others, you know, very much showing that we have some optimism that the golf season will come. And as you pointed out in your men's schedule story this week, it'll go pretty quickly. But we start first with an update on a topic we talked about a week or two ago on Talking.Golf, and that's the golf show circuit. And one that we were talking about, Gary, that you and I go to every year with Jim Kelch and Sarah Starmer and our crew at Killarney Golf Media, the Chicago Golf Show, announced this week that they are once again canceling for 2022, and they hope to return in 2023. No word yet on Milwaukee or Madison, at least that I know of. I know you've talked to the Royals about, you know, they Royals Golf Show's put on the two in state here. It's we're in that kind of, you know, awkward position, Gary, where, you know, there's a lot with COVID still going on. Yet, you know, we're going to play a Super Bowl in a couple of weeks where, aside from maybe, you know, a mask mandate in California, it's going to be a full house. What is your take on where we're at with golf shows, which are usually our bridge to the golf season?
It's really interesting, Rob. As you point out, you know, NBA arenas and college basketball, they're filled. People are resuming indoor activities, you know, masked, and in some cases not masked. But yeah, everything's going great guns, except the golf shows are suffering. And I was talking to Jay Royal, who owns the two shows, the big shows in Wisconsin, the Milwaukee and Madison shows. And he was saying he thinks it's partly COVID, obviously. But he also said, you know, golf courses are coming off 2 fantastic years with record rounds, record revenue. And he said, a lot of them feel like they don't need to promote right now. And he said, you know, the worst thing you can do, in Jay's opinion, is to stop promoting because things are going well, because then if you slide a little bit, it's kind of hard to catch up. But he said a lot of courses don't feel the need to promote, and it's really hard to get them to come to golf shows. He also told me Joel Zucker, with our friend at Nevada, Bob's in Madison, won't be at the either show, Milwaukee or Madison, and told Jay he's not going to do golf shows anymore. He doesn't apparently feel the need to do them. So Jay was saying he wonders about the future of these shows. If golf keeps going great, as far as number of rounds and courses doing great, they might not want to show up to golf shows anymore. So that would be a sad thing if that happened.
Well, it would, because I think, you know, from our experience in Chicago, and of course, Joel and the crew at Nevada Bob's was there, it oftentimes was a three-ring circus in his area of the exhibition hall. I don't know whether, I would hope that there wasn't much loss of product, because it was hard to police that area. I can see that side of it. And you know, I'm sure there's other ways to get the equipment out now online, and maybe, you know, work, other channels that maybe weren't there before. But I just, you know, believe that there's nothing like face-to-face interaction with your clientele. And, you know, for those of us in the upper Midwest who were, you know, born and raised there, there is still something exciting about looking forward to the next golf season. Where I am now in Arizona, Gary, I mean, it's golf season year round. So there's really not that gap. But in places where there's that gap, there's a void. And I feel the void is somewhat filled by these golf shows and by just, you know, people getting together. We're seeing it on these Facebook groups that have been formed. You know, the golfers in Wisconsin and in our neck of the woods enjoy talking golf, enjoy seeing golf, enjoy being able to talk to the people from the golf courses at a time of year when they have the time to talk about what they can expect at their golf course. I feel it would be a huge loss if these just kind of go by the wayside.
Yeah, Rob, that's a good point you make. Golf shows have worked in the upper Midwest because in February and March, golfers are itching to play in they're anxious to see green grass, even if it's on photos at a booth at a golf show. So, and it was a social thing, right? I mean, you'd go to golf shows and run into a lot of people you knew. But that doesn't seem to be the case right now. Jay Royal told me he's really worried about the future of golf shows. He said, if we have a couple more bad years, you know, he said, people are just going to start pulling the plug on producing these golf shows. Cause he said, I'm a businessman and I have to make at least a little profit. He said he's hoping to just break even this year, and he can't promote his shows because he doesn't have the revenue from the vendors and exhibitors coming in. He's at 40% right now of booths occupied, which is, he's hoping to get to 50 or 60, but 40%. And that's about what Orlando was for the big PGA merchandise show back a few weeks ago. So it's however you look at it, as a problem in the industry or just something inevitable between COVID and golf courses making a lot of money right now that they don't need to promote, but it's definitely seems to be a cycle we're in that that golf shows are sort of failing right now.
You and I have been around long enough, Gary, to know that we've seen these trends before where golf has enjoyed great popularity. And then there seems to be this impression that we can coast, we can glide. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, a few years later, when another sport takes over or a different kind of, you know, sport culture starts to dominate the people's pocketbook and their schedules, then the golf community is left wondering what happened to our clientele. I wish we would learn from our mistakes, perhaps, and maybe, you know, we'll be proven wrong. Maybe the golf industry will show us that the state of affairs right now will perpetuate on its own. But boy, you know, that's a big wish. And, you know, we've seen it change before. I just, again, really hope that, you know, we see these come back. So it will keep you updated on whether the Wisconsin shows are going on. I think the Minnesota show, last I heard, was still going on. And I thought we were coming up on the Grand Rapids show pretty soon. So we'll continue to monitor. I know that smaller shows in Appleton and La Crosse, to my knowledge, have not yet been canceled. So we'll continue to keep an eye and an ear out for any updates and continue to talk about this topic here on Talking.Golf. But That said, you can't slow down the golf season and tournament golf starting soon. I wrote about the women. You wrote about the men's schedule this week. And let's start first with the men. A couple of really good courses to look forward to as far as the state amateur and the state open. Two very different golf courses, with Sand Valley hosting the Wisconsin State Amateur, and then Ozaukee Country Club, the state open. As you look at the schedule this summer, Gary, what are some of the things that jump out to you?
Yeah, well, you just mentioned two things. You know, Sand Valley, it's going to be interesting because they're using both courses, Rob, the Mammoth Dunes and the Sand Valley, for the first two rounds. They'll alternate rounds one and two and then finish up the final, after the cut, the final two rounds on the original Sand Valley course. But then you look at Ozaukee, just a great Langford Moreau, same guys who did Lasonia Lynx. It's always been a great test. I was surprised to learn that this is their this will be their fourth state open, but their first since, I think, 1968, maybe. Right. I believe Andy North was in the mix back then in 68. But so it's been a long time coming to Ozaukee, although they've hosted some, I think, some state amateurs in the interim. But the other thing, you know, I love about the Wisconsin State Golf Association is that their tournaments now for everyone, for every age ability. The Net Partners brings in anybody who wants to tee it up, no matter what their handicap is. And there's 14 qualifiers for the Net Partners and 22 for the Senior Tour, Rob, which I should get on this year and maybe play a couple. So it's good to see. I love how they've spread a net over all the golfers in Wisconsin. If you want to compete, no matter what your ability, there's a tournament for you somewhere.
And a good segue into one of the things that was promoted in my conversation with Thomas Fazio, the assistant director for the WSBA, who's primarily in charge of the women's events, but is also trumpeting the transition from the member series events to the scramble series. They're changing the name and zeroing in on the scramble format for these events at some of the higher end courses around the state of Wisconsin, much like the two tournament formats that you just talked about, Gary, the Net Partners and the Senior Tour. The scramble series will culminate at Wild Rock Golf Club in Wisconsin Dells on September 14th. And what are essentially qualifying events, but events unto themselves because of the great courses they're being played at. There'll be six of them to qualify into the event at Wild Rock, starting on May 18th with Black Wolf Run and Kohler on the Meadow Valleys course, June 6th at the Bog in Saukville, July 27th at the Oaks Golf Course in Cottage Grove, which also will be playing host to the Wisconsin Junior Boys Championship this year. The Lynx course at Lasonia in Green Lake will host fourth Scramble Series event on August 17th. The club at Strawberry Creek, which has hosted a state amateur in the past, will be the site of the August 22nd qualifier or event, as it were. And the last opportunity to qualify to Wild Rock will be September 6th at South Hills Golf and Country Club in Fond du Lac. And Thomas said that on the women's side, they replaced a mid-amateur women's championship with a scramble championship for the women last year and sold it out. And it kind of speaks to really, I think, the mindset of a lot of golfers who, you know, maybe aren't your plus handicap type golfers, Gary, that want to get out there and have some fun. The scramble format obviously is one that has stood the test of time as being perhaps the most enjoyed among every golfer, no matter ability.
And what a great lineup of courses, Rob. I didn't realize, you know, until you ticked off those courses. I mean, those are some of the best tracks in Wisconsin that that the Scramble Series is going to be held on. So kudos to the courses for making them available to golfers who want to play in these events too.
And that's a great point, Gary, because, you know, you talked about this boom in golf and how some courses are, you know, asking, you know, why do I host a golf tournament? Well, I still think in this era of good times, there's a certain element of giving back to the game. And I think every course in the state of Wisconsin, whether you're at Erin Hills or whether you're the mom and pop municipal type course, you know, needs to give back in some way, whether it be a junior event, a women's event, an amateur event. And it's not getting any easier for those courses to find room to offer dates. And then it's up to the two associations, the Wisconsin PGA with the juniors and the WSGA with all their amateur events, to be able to coordinate so that they all fit and they're not conflicting, you know, every week of the summer. I thought your story about the men's schedule essentially starting on May 11th with U.S. Open local qualifying and culminating with the Senior Cup matches up in Minnesota on October 11th shows you, you know, what is that? It's, you know, less than 5 months of,
5 months,
you know, 5 months on the noggin, with, you know, tournament activity. I talked to, Tom Schmidt down here in, who lives in the same community I do outside of Phoenix, the former WSGA executive director. And he said that, and he comes back during the summers and lives in Wisconsin and does a lot of rules officiating for the WSGA now in retirement. And he got the notice from Jeff Perkel, the new director of competitions for the WSGA, and 90 tournaments in that short span of time that they need rules officials for. So again, you've heard the cry for rules officials in other sports, that the same applies in golf. And but it does show you how quickly the season does go by.
Yeah, 90 tournaments. That is that's a load of tournaments. And, you know, we talked about the courses giving, you know, the public courses lose some revenue, the private courses, the members, you know, have to give up their course for a couple of days for a tournament. And so they, you know, that's giving back to the game from that standpoint. But then you talk about the rules officials. I think of a guy like Randy Warbeck. I mean, there's a lot of guys who don't, you know, devote a lot of their time to these things. But Randy, every tournament I was at last year, I saw the guy as a rules official. And hats off to those guys who donate their time to make sure these tournaments run smoothly.
Absolutely. And, you know, as we look at, I think one other common thread between our two stories, Gary, on the men's side that you wrote and the women's side with me, is the importance and the growing importance of the World Amateur Golf Rankings in how these tournaments are run. And I know I got feedback on the women's side that, you know, asking me, why did it take so long to get these, you know, the state women's open to 54 holes? And, you know, there was a comment, a quote that I had in there from Joe Stadler, the executive director of the WPGA, that said, you know, the World Amateur Golf Rankings isn't a world in which he lives. And it may have come off wrong to some in the amateur ranks. But, you know, in defense of Joe, I mean, he runs an association based on professional golf. So that is not a world in which he lives. And the Women's State Open is one of the newer state opens, along with the Senior Open, in, you know, in the grand history of the WPGA. And it really hasn't changed since it was introduced a couple decades ago. And but now it is. It's going to 54 holes. And then the Women's State Amateur, which had been 54 holes, went to 36 for 2 years, essentially because of some COVID restrictions, just in terms of making sure that they could plan and not, you know, have too many golfers on the golf course on the 36-hole opener for that event. It goes back, but both tournaments are going back to 54 holes, primarily to give the better women's golfers an opportunity to earn World Amateur Golf Rankings points, something that has kind of come with the territory on the men's side, because the men's state amateurs and state opens have always been 72 holes. And, but, you know, it just, it shows, you know, there are a lot of reasons that people play in competitive events during the summertime. And if you're in the junior ranks, it's always about the junior golf scoreboard, which essentially is AJGA type level of events to try to get points to getting in bigger and better tournaments nationally and open more eyes of college coaches. And then when you get to that point, then it's about trying to get into bigger tournaments to make yourself better. And it's hard when you don't have the opportunity to earn points close to home.
Yeah, and another point about the 54-hole tournaments, Rob, is, and I'm not, this is not to suggest that any of the winners in recent years has been a fluke, but I just think when you have another round, it gives a chance for the cream to rise to the top a little better. And, you know, plus, as you mentioned in your story, you know, most of the women entering these tournaments, or a lot of them, are college players who play 54-hole tournaments. So this just helps prepare them for the college season. It's something they're a little more used to. And 54 holes, I think you always identify, I mean, 18 holes identifies a winner, a deserving winner, but 54 holes, I think even more so.
And you saying that, Gary, brings another point up. It's kind of funny in Wisconsin how on the women's side, one of those events that will be now 54 holes, it'll be the state amateur that has the 36-hole opener. Now, a lot of college tournaments on the men's side and the women's side at the college level in Division I have 36-hole opening days. this is great for those kids. On the men's side, that 36 hole opportunity is for those who make the cut at the Wisconsin State Open run by the WPGA, the state amateur 4 days of 18 holes. So, but at least, you know, by the time you get to the end of the season, Gary, in my opinion, you pretty much are exposed to all kinds of competitive situations with what Wisconsin has to offer on its schedule. You look at with the men's Ray Fisher tournament, kind of a shootout type of format versus the state amateur, which where even par is really a good score. Much the same on the junior side, where the WPGA championship is usually set up where it's very scoreable, but then the events run by the WSGA, the junior boys, and now the junior girls match play, they try to put a little teeth into the court setup and make it, you know, seem like a springboard or you know, kind of a taste of what they'll expect at a state amateur. I like how the tournament schedule in Wisconsin is organized and what it has to offer for all these golfers.
Yeah, for sure. Better opportunities, more opportunities every year, it seems like, for, as we said, for golfers of all abilities, from 20 handicappers to the finest amateur players and even professional players in our state. So both organizations so well run. We're lucky in Wisconsin to have, you know, I talk to golfers who play around the country and they all say, you know, Wisconsin has the two best run organizations of that you'll find anywhere in our country, both the section and the and on the amateur side with the WSGA.
And lastly, to put a bow on the conversation about the schedule story, we'd be remiss if we didn't kind of highlight one of the things that was included in your story about the fact that it's a year where Wisconsin will host a USGA event with the US mid-amateur coming to Erin Hills in September. And because of that, not one, but two qualifiers for that. And the age threshold for that, I believe, is what, 25 and older? And
yes.
You can, you know, qualify for a USGA championship. And again, right in our backyard, Erin Hills has hosted the 2008 U.S. Women's Pub Links, which is no longer a tournament, but it was a great event when it was run. And the 2011 U.S. Amateur, and of course, the 2017 U.S. Open won by Brooks Koepka. So excitement there to be able not only to host a USG event in the state, but then for local golfers to have two opportunities to get there.
Yeah, and Blue Mound in Wauwatosa will be the co-host course for the stroke play qualifying. This is a tournament, Rob. A lot of people refer to this as the true, you know, amateur championship for true amateurs in our country, because let's face it, the U.S. amateur is dominated by college players. College players win it almost every year. Sorry about my dog in the background.
You're good. And excited about the schedule.
Yeah. And so, you know, 25 and over, these people have, they have jobs, they have families, they have careers, and they still manage to play golf at a very, very high level. So can't wait for that tournament to see what transpires at Erin Hills.
And it's fun when courses get together to be able to, you know, to collaborate on something like that. And it's, I believe it's 3 years time, 2 years time, 2024, the U.S. Amateur comes back to the Midwest at Hazeltine National Golf Club in Chaska, Minnesota. And then they will partner with Chaska Town Course on that one. And again, we've got a lot of great candidates at that point in time from Wisconsin that could be, you know, in the mix there too. But the USGA events are always special and very much something to look forward to here in 2022 as we look at the Wisconsin golf schedule. Talking.golf brought to you by Elite Sport and Spine in Brookfield. Winter doesn't have to be your downtime for golf. In fact, it should be prime time to get your body in shape and improve your game for the upcoming season. Elite Sport and Spine in Brookfield, Wisconsin offers a comprehensive golf performance program geared towards golfers of all ages and abilities. It combines medical and fitness assessment, specific golf movements, and TrackMan analysis. For more, you can go to their website at www.elitesportandspinewi.com and click Golf Performance Training, or of course, you call Elite Sport and Spine in Brookfield at 262-373-9168. Tell them you heard about their golf performance program here on Talking.Golf, and you will get yourself a free sleeve of Pro V1 or Pro V1X golf balls just for saying you heard about it here on Talking.Golf. the Elite Sport and Spine Golf Performance Program. If you're in the Milwaukee area, if you're not in the Milwaukee area, get yourself down there to Elite Sport and Spine and do it now before the weather gets warmer, the golf course is open, and you're left to wonder, why didn't I get myself better for the 2022 golf season? Gary, a lot of people who have a big impact on how we all get better handed out awards. The Wisconsin PGA, the PGA of America section here in the state announced their awards this week, and a bit of history was made in the award winners.
Yeah, Rob, you know, I'm the at-large member of the WSGA board right now, and I'm on the selection committee for these awards, so I'm privy to what goes on behind the scenes, and there's really so many good candidates who are finalists for these awards. But Molly Braid, teaching professional at Westmore Country Club, becomes the first female to win the WPGA's Teacher of the Year Award. Very well deserved. She has a great resume. She has really attracted a devoted following at Westmore. She might not churn out the lessons as many as, say, maybe David Roche or Travis Becker or Jeff Kaiser, but certainly quality. She's a quality teacher, and it's so good to see her, you know, receive this award.
And I'm just looking at, you know, your story, her resume. She's 34 years old, and she has been selected as one of Golf Digest's top instructor under 40 since 2018 and best in state instructor in Wisconsin 2019. Again, there's a lot of opportunities with a lot of the professionals that sometimes, you know, they are, you know, they do limit their schedule to their clubs. But I think of Chuck Wood over at Oconomowoc Golf Club, who invites people in. Travis Becker, you mentioned, through the Beloit Club and Ironworks Golf Lab down in Beloit. You know, again, all you can do is ask Larry and Dennis Tiziani in Madison, Derek Schnarr at Blackhawk Country Club. You know, they have private courses that have never or seldom said no to kids if their schedule allows. And to be able to see now a woman, you know, win this award, Gary, I think it speaks to the potential there for young women golfers, girls golfers, to dream and aspire to do that. Not everyone, Gary, has to go on to play on the PGA Tour, the LPGA Tour. There's a lot to be gained, both in the satisfaction department of teaching others the game, and it sure seems like Molly's doing a pretty good job of it over there at Westmore.
Yeah, and she's struck a great work-life balance, Rob. She has a 3.5-year-old child with her husband, and she's very pregnant. She's due to give birth any day now. So she's going to have two small children at home. So she has managed to build this resume and build this following as a teacher at Westmore. And by the way, she also goes into Milwaukee Public Schools and, you know, and presents programming to students at school. So she's very busy, but she has struck a work-life balance where her family comes first and her job, you know, comes second, but she's still able to do a wonderful job teaching and raising a family at the same time. So as she said, maybe other young ladies, young women will see this and say, hey, if she can do it, maybe I can do this too.
And I think too, it speaks to really the vision of Westmore Country Club to be able to, you know, allow her the flexibility to do that and to have the structure, you know, with, you know, a lot of other, you know, people on staff there, like, you know, Vince Polizano, who won the Bill Strasburg Award this year, the head professional at Westmore, you know, being, you know, in a position to, you know, kind of, you know, divide and conquer all the things that go into running a golf club. And I think it's the same over at Blue Mound with, you know, the combination of Barry Linhart as the head professional and Jim Schumann as a teaching professional. We've seen that concept work. You obviously need someone to you know, get the members out on the golf course and have them enjoy, you know, that end of it from a business standpoint. But there's also the playability standpoint that I don't think can be underscored. This can be a very frustrating game, as the two people hosting this podcast can attest. And so, you know, the more help we can get on the lesson tee and the practice range, the better, in my opinion, Gary.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And Molly, you know, winning the Teacher of the Award, the sort of highlights the 11 awards, but that the WPGA gives out. But of course, the really big award is Golf Professional of the Year, and our friend Mark Fowler was named Golf Professional of the Year. That's sort of the highest honor you can achieve as a section club professional in our state. Very well deserved. Mark is, you know, we go way back with Mark. He's a great guy. He's been at Golf Tech for 15 years, gives a lot of lessons. He's also a terrific player, and he gives back to the organization because he's been on the board for a few years. You know, he was secretary a couple of years ago, and now he's vice president, in line to become president of the WPGA. So that award goes to Mark Voller, and again, very well deserving.
Absolutely. And you talk about his lineage here in the state of Wisconsin, that we've talked about it before. His parents, Don and Chris, former golf coaches at UW-Whitewater. And you know, Mark, a very good player in his own right. And I'm going to age him here, Gary, because Mark Voller in 1988 and 89 won the WIAA Class B. It was class systems back then, not divisions. State championships at, first it was Lake Arrowhead Golf Course the first year, the year that Bill Heim out of Green Bay won his third Division I state title. And then the second year was at Fox Hills Resort in Michicot. And so Mark playing for Whitewater High School won those in back-to-back years and went on to play for a while. I believe it was at Northern Illinois. So a great history there with Mark. And he works out of one of the is it Golf Galaxy down in
the... Oh, I said Golf Tech. Yeah, I made a mistake. Yeah, it's Golf Galaxy. Yeah,
he's been at Golf Galaxy. But, you know, again, it speaks to also to how, you know, it used to be that, you know, all these awards were guys that, you know, have clubs and golf courses. And now we're seeing, you mentioned Golf Tech. We've seen award winners through Golf Tech in terms of the
team
and out of some of the shops, you know, the Golf Galaxies and the Dick's Sporting Goods around the state that, you know, have PGA professionals in their shop to help the consumer, you know, get the right equipment and get the right instruction, you know, through those facilities. Because sometimes that's how people are introduced to the game as they're, you know, in their local mall doing their shopping.
Yeah, absolutely. Golf Galaxy and Golf Tech both do tons and tons of lessons and fittings. And Mark's not only a good teacher, but a good fitter. So, and those two things go hand in hand these days, as you know, Rob. So I'm really happy for Mark. A little known fact, Mark and I joke about it quite often, is that I actually made the UW-Whitewater golf team my freshman year, Don Voller's golf team. Of course, I was the last man on the roster. I never played in the meet. And I think Don just felt sorry for me. He saw that I had a passion for the game and he put me on the team. Jeff Hosking was on that team, by the way, Rob.
Wow.
Yeah, Jeff and I have
how did anything get done with the two of you on that team? Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Jeff was a much better player than I was. He actually played in some tournaments. Greg Clatworth, he was on that team. There's some really good players on that team. But I just went to the postseason golf party for the golf team at the Voller's household. Other than that, I was really never around the team. But yeah, that's my claim to fame, Rob.
Well, I think Don Voller was a visionary. He knew that he had a future golf Hall of Famer on his hands, and he wanted to be able to say, "I put Gary D'Amato on my roster." I could see it back then. So, hats off to the entire Voller family for all that they've done for golf in Wisconsin. Couple other award winners: the Assistant Golf Professional of the Year, Jake Van Vliet of Shaniqua Country Club in Heartland; the PGA Development Award, our friend Danny Rainbow up at Century World; the Youth Player Development Award, and this is a guy that I can speak to, Jeremy Sabalka over at Pleasant View Golf Course in Middleton. Going back to the days when his dad, Tom Sabalka, the head boys golf coach now at Middleton, and Dewey Stendahl, who preceded Tom at Middleton. You know, they've been out at Pleasant View forever, and they've got the par three courses. You're driving in and you pick any summer day and you're driving in there and you're going to see hundreds of kids on that golf course learning the game. And a lot of that now goes to the efforts of people like Jeremy Sabalka and his staff at Pleasant View. A Player Development Award, we mentioned Travis Becker out of the Bloyd Club and Ironworks Golf Academy. Bill Strasburg Award, Vince Polizano at Westmore Country Club, Jack Gaudian, who does so much for veterans through his Legends Clubs in the Milwaukee area, Heartland and Wales and Merrill Hills, as in addition to the Legend of Bergamot in Oregon. He wins the Patriot Award. And then our Merchandisers of the Year for the private clubs, Dave Chemnitz up at Monaco Country Club in far northern Wisconsin. He gets the award for the private clubs. And then Tom Dolby, who used to be at Muskuten Golf Club in Berlin, now at Pine Grove Country Club in Upper Michigan, gets the award for public courses. And Jim Lombardo at Erin Hills, nobody does it better than Jimmy over there. And he gets Merchandiser of the Year for the resort courses. But, you know, these are the guys and gals, Gary, who work their tails off during the golf season while you and I are out playing. And we always appreciate a clean, organized, and well-run golf shop and golf operation. And there's so much to it these days that maybe didn't exist back in the past.
Yeah, and all these award winners, Rob, will be honored at the annual spring meeting for the Wisconsin PGA section that's coming up next month, March 7th, at the Wilderness Resort in Wisconsin Dells. So look forward to seeing all those people win their awards.
And folks, you may be wondering, Gary D'Amato talking about playing golf at UW-Whitewater. If you go to their website, you're not going to see a tab for men's golf anymore, but that may be changing. We've got another WIAC school, Wisconsin Intercollegiate Athletic Conference School, that's adding men's golf. UW-Stevens Point is going to restore it this fall. They haven't named a coach, but boy, you know, they've got two pretty good courses up there in Stevens Point Country Club and Century World that can probably, you know, attract a lot of good golfers there. As a former WIAC golfer yourself, Gary, what did you think when you saw that news?
That was very heartening news, Rob. And your story got a ton of reaction from people who are really excited about that, that golf's coming back. Maybe to more than one WIAC school. We'll have to wait and see. But, I was at Parkside last night for Mark Olson. They dedicated the indoor golf facility to the longtime Parkside coach. And they were talking about starting a women's program at Parkside. So it's good to see that. Hopefully we'll have more college golf to cover in the coming years, Rob.
Well, I was going to ask about that because between not having a women's program at Parkside and then not having one at Marquette, I just feel like there's an untapped market there. And then, you know, we're seeing so many of the guys either not think about golf. I think the great thing about having, UW-Stevens Point bring back golf, and I'm sure it was like this when, in your era, Gary, when everybody in that conference, when all your friends are going to lacrosse and to Whitewater and to Platteville and to Stevens Point and Stout, Eau Claire, you name it, Oshkosh, it builds a culture. And I think it would be great to be able to expand that culture to places like Parkside and Kenosha and Marquette on the women's side. And then to get, the chart that I do every year for the graduating classes as to where these kids are going to school, we do chart where they're going if golf's not in the picture. And I can tell you there were at least three guys last year, Gary, who are going to UW Lacrosse to be students. If UW Lacrosse were to add golf tomorrow, they would become an instant power in Division III. They have the resources. They have the great courses around them, both a good public course in the old Lacrosse Country Club, now Forest Hills, and the new Lacrosse Country Club out in Onalaska, which is just down the road from the golf club at Cedar Creek. And there are other courses in the area that would be more than accommodating to a men's program. And we've seen how rapidly Dave Tables built the women's program up at UW Lacrosse. We've got more coming on that next week with a couple of recruits from Sussex Hamilton. But, college golf is really in a good place right now in the state of Wisconsin.
It is, Rob. And I think back in the day when all the schools in the WIAC fielded men's golf teams and some of the good players that came out of those programs, and prime example is Eddie Tarasa, right? I mean, one of the best players, in our state in the last 40 years came out of a WIAC school, UW-Whitewater. So let's hope that we get even more college teams to cover in the coming years.
And speaking of college golf, the college golf season got underway this week, and the Badger women played in the Big Ten match play tournament earlier in the week down in Florida, and I believe went 1-2. And right now the Badger men on the golf course, they won their match on Friday morning over Maryland 4-1, and currently locked in a good one as we record the podcast. They're 2-1-2 with Michigan State. They need to flip one of those, and now they just went to 3-1-1 as the Griffin Barella, who dominated his match this morning, does it again, winning 5-4. But here's breaking news for you we'll try to draw out the end of this podcast, see if we can get a final score on this one. But Cameron Huss has rallied from four down at the turn. They started the shotgun start on hole 12, and he has now squared the match with U.S. amateur champion James Piatt of Michigan State at the number one position. That's pretty impressive because Piatt, Gary, started out birdie, 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 and was four under through his first nine holes in building that four-up lead. And now Cameron Huss, who, I mean, we've talked to a dozen people who think this kid is just going to be, you know, his star is going to continue to rise.
Yeah, that's a great match, Rob. You know, I think he was four down after 11 holes. And at that point, you're facing the U.S. amateur champion and you're thinking, well, it's probably over. But he wins four of the next five holes, Cameron does. And now they're tied through 16 with two holes to go. So it would be, whether Cameron wins this match or not, just to come back against the U.S. amateur champion in the style he did and the fashion he did is really something else. And I see a couple other Badgers are only one down with a couple of holes to go. So if they can flip this, very possibly Wisconsin could beat Michigan State here.
And the Badgers had a transfer kid in the lineup for the morning match. He was replaced with Jacob Beckman here in the afternoon. So it looks like as we kind of look to the Badgers for this spring, Cameron Huss, Griffin Borella, Coulter Smith, kind of at a 1-2-3, and Robbie Morway, who's one down through 16 holes, but I believe he won his match this morning. Out of Mequon continues his tremendous comeback story. So there's a lot of potential in this Badger program under a first-year coach, and we'll look forward to that, storyline to develop as we go forward. The other big event going on in the country this week is the Jones Cup Invitational down at Sea Island, Georgia. It's one of those events that kind of bridges the gap for a lot of college players between the fall and the spring seasons, and Harrison Ott out of Vanderbilt and Brookfield, Wisconsin, was 3-under at one point, finishes even par. He's T23, and Pearson Hunt out of Heartland and the University of Illinois shoots 76. He's T54 out of 84 kids. But Gary, everybody trying to stay sharp here over the winter, and our two rising stars out of about four or five on the collegiate front, Division One wise. Are certainly doing it down there at the Jones Cup.
Yeah, this is a loaded field, Rob. I'm looking through some of the names here. I see Stuart Hagestad tied for 17th, the defending U.S. mid-amateur champion, two-time champion of that national championship, and we'll see him at Erin Hills later in the year. So there are some really, really good players in this field.
And a lot of events coming up here in the next week. Again, check out our scoreboard page and we haven't been touting our Twitter handle, but at wis.golflive has all the college events as they are completed. And tomorrow's stars of the professional ranks competing at the college level today. So that's where you can go for those. And speaking of the pro ranks, we've got some good stuff happening out on the LPGA Tour, where Casey Danielson, in her second start as an LPGA member, after a rough opening round of 77 at the LPGA Drive-On Championship in Fort Myers, Florida, is now 4-under on her second round. She's gone from a 115th place to T80. Gary, I believe, what is it? Top 70 in ties go on to the weekend, and she's getting close.
Yeah, it looks like right now she's one or two shots off the cut line, and she got it to 5-under, Rob, and then made a bogey, but She needed this round, I think, after missing the cut last week and a shaky start yesterday's round. She needed something good to happen, and to see all those birdies go in, five birdies she's made in 12 holes. That's got to be great for her confidence.
So as we look forward, college golf getting going in earnest, and professional golf continuing on. We've got the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am going on. Nobody in the field competitively, but a couple more caddies. John Turk out in the bag of Grayson Sig again, and Austin Gaugert looping for Kyle Stanley. As I don't know, if you live in the middle part of the country, Gary, you're just turning on the coverage this weekend to see what green grass looks like, aren't you?
Absolutely. I'll tell you what, there's no better golf course to see on TV than Pebble Beach on a sunlit day. That place is just gorgeous, and makes me want to see the snow disappear even faster in my yard here, Rob.
Last but not least here on Talking.Golf, one other story that we wanted to kind of highlight here from the past week. Last Sunday we posted it. Dennis McCann wrote it Longtime owners of Deer Run Golf Course on Door County's Washington Island have found a buyer, and Dan and Trudy, and I'm going to butcher this last name, Schletsky, it looks like, they are selling the course after 20 years. And the buyer is Michael Maskey, whose Maskey Golf Group, Maskey Group owns restaurants in the Stevens Point area, as well as Door County. They wanted to wait, Gary, and get someone who wasn't going to convert the property into condos. And they found a buyer, and the nine-hole course on the island. If you've ever been to Washington Island, you take the ferry from I believe it's Sister Bay up there on the point, and you go over, you rent a couple bikes, throw a couple, you can even rent golf clubs. I mean, we're not talking about Callaways and TaylorMades, but you can rent some clubs, and I guess you can, I think you can take your car over there, but and then you can, you know, play nine holes of golf on an island. There's only two places in Wisconsin you can do that. And I think Deer Run kind of gets overlooked by the golf club up there at Madeline Island.
Yeah, I've never, you know, I've been to Washington Island. It's been a long time. Didn't play the golf course. You mentioned that you did play it on your honeymoon, right?
I did. Awesome. And thank you for teeing this one up for me. My wife Jean and I played two courses that, and she was just getting into golf before we had kids. And so it was a nine-hole track and relatively flat. So we did that. And then the other one we played also recently had a change of ownership, and that's Stonehenge Golf Course in Egg Harbor. And I, those of you who are familiar with Door County Golf, now those might not be the two go-to places. We did walk past and admire, and later in life played Peninsula State Park and the Orchards at Egg Harbor and Max Walton Bray's, among others. But Stonehenge recently purchased just before the turn of the year by Kevin Werenberg. And if that name sounds familiar, he has produced and developed action comedy game shows such as Fear Factor and Wipeout, as well as the summer Netflix obstacle course game show Floor is Lava. I don't even know what that's about. He and his wife, Erin, who is the senior vice president of network comedy for ABC Entertainment, they purchased the nine-hole course in Egg Harbor. And there's a great story that we Jim Kelsch retweeted on our Twitter feed from Craig Sturette of the Peninsula Pulse from about a month ago, actually just a couple weeks ago, that documents the sale of that course. And right there in the middle of Egg Harbor is this neat little nine-hole course, and we played it on our honeymoon and had a great time. We got married at the end of July, Gary. I mean, I couldn't go a week without playing some golf, right?
For sure. Yeah. You somehow twisted Gina's arm into taking up the game, right?
That's right. Twisted
her arm. And, good for you.
Yeah. I'm not going to say that, both courses are right up there with a trip to Wilson's for ice cream, but, or a movie at the drive-in theater, but, there's a lot to love about Door County, and I haven't found a golf course yet where I haven't actually had a good time. It will always be an area of the state that's near and dear to my heart as it comes to golf destinations. So a couple courses getting new life in Deer Run on Washington Island and Stonehenge in Egg Harbor. Well, Gary, I think on that note, we can continue to look forward to warmer weather when we can get to Door County and play some golf, and look forward to that May 11th. And hopefully you won't have, freezing rain going sideways at the U.S. Open local qualifier.
A couple of years ago at Wild Rock, we had those exact conditions. Austin Kanzorski, I think, shot 70 that day, if I'm not mistaken, to advance to 36-hole sectional qualifying for the Open. And it was the most brutal conditions I've ever seen for golf, Rob. Probably 42 degrees, pelting rain sideways on a 30-mile-an-hour wind. I went out in the golf cart to watch them. And after about 10 minutes with Jim Kelsch, we turned back and headed back to the clubhouse. We were miserable. I don't know how you played golf that day. So let's hope we have 65 degrees and sunny on May 11th this year, Rob.
So you're saying I shouldn't complain about my mid-50s weather down here in Phoenix the other day?
Better not.
25-mile-an-hour winds with no rain?
You better not. No. You
better not. I bet I'm keeping my mouth shut there. Well, Gary, I appreciate your time here on Talking.Golf. We'll do it again next week.
All right, Rob. Thanks.
This has been Talking.Golf, sponsored by Elite Sport and Spine in Brookfield. Winter doesn't have to be your downtime for golf. In fact, it should be prime time to get your body in shape and improve your game for the upcoming season. Elite Sport and Spine in Brookfield, Wisconsin, offers a comprehensive golf performance program. Their innovative approach is geared towards golfers of all ages and abilities. Heck, Gary D'Amato is doing it. And it combines medical and fitness assessment, specific golf movements, and TrackMan analysis. Elite Sport and Spine's team of TPI certified providers then creates a plan for you to address your specific limitations, combining golf instruction, physical rehabilitation, and strength and conditioning. Call Elite Sport and Spine in Brookfield at 262-373-9168 for more information, or visit their website at www.elitesportandspinewi.com and click Golf Performance Training. Don't forget, tell the folks at Elite Sport and Spine in Brookfield that you heard about their golf performance program here on talking.golf at wisconsin.golf, and you can score yourself a free sleeve of Pro V1 or Pro V1X golf balls just for saying you heard about Elite Sport and Spine in Brookfield here on talking.golf. For Gary, I'm Rob. We'll talk golf again next week.